What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Lakers Outsiders weekly podcast brought to you by UCAS Studios. I'm your host, Gary Kester, here with you as always. I'm going to be talking about today, I'll be talking pretty strictly about the Laker game that transpired tonight by the time I'm recording this. The Lakers lost to the Milwaukee Bucks 111-104 to cap off their five-game road trip. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that game and kind of preview what is coming up next. I don't know when I'll be recording again after this. It'll most likely be after Christmas. Here in a little bit, I'm actually going to hit the road and go to Las Vegas for a little bit. So, I don't know when the next show will be, but I recorded one not too long ago, so you can always check that out. And as always, guys, be sure to like this video, subscribe to UCAS Studios and Lakers Outsiders on YouTube, and all those major podcast platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, all of those. And you can follow Lakers Outsiders on Twitter and Instagram, just at Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me, just at Gary Kester on Twitter. And yeah. Let's talk about this game. Obviously, this was a heavyweight matchup. Really, I mean, it was the two best teams in the NBA going toe-to-toe. And a little bit of a disappointing performance by the Lakers. The second quarter really kind of unraveled for them, and it really put them in a hole that they couldn't quite dig themselves out of. So I'm just going to start by saying I'm not as discouraged by this loss as it seemed like a lot of people on Twitter were. A lot of people kind of took this as the Lakers were exposed and they're, you know, so far behind the Bucks and everything. And I agree with the notion that they were exposed a little bit. But I don't, like I said, I'm not that discouraged about this game. I'm really not. I feel kind of similar to the season opener where the Lakers lost to the Clippers despite so many things going kind of wrong for them in that game. And they still had opportunities in the fourth quarter to really make a run and kind of get over the hump and try and take the lead in that game. They just couldn't quite execute, couldn't really make the plays that they needed down the stretch. And I know Paul George didn't play in that game, and that it was the first game of the year, so obviously both of those two teams are going to be very different come April, May, maybe even June. That's how I feel with this game. I mean, it's, you know, we're not even to Christmas yet. We're in December. The Lakers, both these teams are obviously going to be playoff teams, barring just total catastrophe. So both of these teams aren't finished products, and they're going to be very different teams when April rolls around and the playoffs start. But all right, so my thoughts on this game, I think you just have to tip your cap mostly to the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought they played really well, and they weren't fully healthy. I mean, neither team was. I mean, the Lakers were missing Kyle Kuzma, which is probably less of a loss than Eric Bledsoe for the Milwaukee Bucks. But I think both players are still significant contributors. So, I mean, we saw both teams at less than 100%. The Lakers, not to make excuses for the Lakers, I mean, they got thoroughly outplayed in this game, really in the first half. I thought the Lakers were actually probably the better team. In the second half, they just dug themselves too deep of a hole to climb out of. But the Lakers, again, not to make excuses here, but this was the fifth game of their road trip, their last game of the road trip. So I think that's typically a tough game for teams to play because they've been on the road for a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it was. And they probably have, you know, one in the back of their mind, they're probably ready to go home, sleep in their own bed, you know, reunite with their families and whatever. So I think that kind of lingers, but again, I'll tip my cap to the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought they played really, really well. They recently had their long, I think it was an 18-game win streak, snapped by the Dallas Mavericks without Luka Doncic. And so both teams were coming off a loss. The Lakers lost to Indiana without Anthony Davis in a game that they very easily could have won. That was actually a really encouraging performance from the role players in that game. A lot of the role players stepped up and really had me believing that, you know, that they'd be ready for really any situation. Whenever they're playing a contender or whatever, it made me feel a lot better going into this game. The role players really struggled in this one. Most of them did, at least. The bench scoring is the biggest thing that stood out in this game. The Lakers scored 4 bench points today. Rondo had 2 points, and Dwight Howard had 2 points. The bench scoring, the bench unit was just really, really bad, and second quarter was just a nightmare for the Lakers. They were down, they were only down 6 after the first quarter, so, you know, you can live with that. They only scored 17 points. The frustrating thing for me about the start of this game was the Lakers had I tweeted this out, but it felt like the Lakers were playing on a double rim because they had so many shots in the first quarter. I've never seen a team have so many shots in one quarter go halfway down and just pop out. Like, so many shots. I counted at least 5. Maybe it was 6 or 7 even, but they had so many shots go halfway down and come out, and, you know, you got to think if even half of those go down, it's a different start to that ball game. And when they make their push in the second half, I mean, it changes things quite a bit. It could have made it a very different game if those shots dropped, because both teams started very slowly offensively. It was 3-1 for, I want to say, maybe 4 minutes, the first 4 minutes of the game. Lakers started with a 3, Milwaukee got a free throw, and then neither team could score for a little while after that. Second quarter, though, I mean, Milwaukee puts 42 on the board, and they go into the break up 65-46, and again, it was just too deep of a hole for the Lakers to climb out of on the road, last game of a road trip against the Bucks, who are the best team in the league right now. And you know, you can't forget either that this Bucks team is the same team that just steamrolled the Clippers in Milwaukee not that long ago. That was very recent. And the Clippers, as far as I know, I don't think they had Landry Shamet, but they had everybody else in that game. So they were just about fully healthy. Kawhi Leonard played. Paul George played. So, despite so many things going wrong for the Lakers in this game, the fact that they were kind of right there still in the fourth quarter and within striking distance to really make a run, to me, that's the encouraging part. But the discouraging part, I guess, is it was just their defense in the first half. It just felt like if Milwaukee wasn't getting layups, they were getting wide open threes. And there's just too many defensive breakdowns, especially in that second quarter, just leaving shooters wide open. Like, there was a couple plays where I think Rondo on one of them helped off of George Hill, who right now is statistically the top three-point shooter in the league. So, like, little things like that where it's just like, you know, leaving shooters wide open, not boxing out Giannis. Davis missed a box out on Giannis in the first half and gave him an offensive rebound and a dunk. Little things like that, you just can't do that against Milwaukee or they'll make you pay, especially at home. I mean, you could tell there was a different intensity, a different energy to the game, and Milwaukee was ready to go. They were ready to go, and the Lakers just weren't. LeBron looked just kind of in a funk most of the night, really, to start out. I mean, I think he started 0 of 5, ended 8 of 19, so got it going a little bit. But the first half was pretty rough for him. He ended up with a triple-double with 21 points, 12 boards, and 11 assists. Anthony Davis started very slow. He could not get his jumper to fall. So I wouldn't anticipate that being that necessarily happening the next time they play. Like I said, he just couldn't get his jumper to fall at all. But he still, I mean, really cranked it up in the second half. He had a really monstrous dunk on Giannis in transition that was awesome to see. But Davis finished with 36 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks. You know, I thought Davis played pretty well considering the circumstances. I mean, he played 43 minutes. I'm not a fan of that, considering he's playing on a bad ankle. I know a lot of people are criticizing the Lakers for letting him play at all because Frank Vogel said before the game that Anthony Davis was still dealing with quite a bit of pain in that ankle. But, I mean, if players want to play, you know, I mean, at a certain point, yes, you need to basically protect players from themselves. But Davis looked, I mean, he looked healthy. He didn't look like he was running with a limp at all. He didn't seem to be favoring that ankle at all. So as far as the ankle goes, he looked fine. Lakers get 2 days off now, so hopefully it's not an issue moving forward, and hopefully they can get Kyle Kuzma back from his ankle injury. But I thought the starters played fairly well when they were all on the court together. I mean, when you look at kind of the plus minus, I mean, the entire bench was a minus except for Troy Daniels, who only played 3 minutes. But the starting lineup, I mean, four guys were, you either had plus six or plus nine, and LeBron was minus 14, which is very uncharacteristic of him. But just overall, it was a rough first half, and the second half was much better. Lakers outscored Milwaukee 35-24 in the third quarter, and then 23-22 in the fourth quarter. There was one sequence in the fourth quarter that I thought was really kind of the dagger. About 6 minutes left in the game, LeBron came down and got a really good look in transition for a three off the dribble, and he pulled up, and it looked good when he let it go, but it was straight on, and it hit off back rim. That would have cut it to six with a little under 6 minutes to play, and I think that would have given the Lakers some momentum there, and maybe would have made Milwaukee a little nervous because Giannis was out of the game at that point with five fouls, and you know that might have gotten the Lakers going a little bit, but he misses the three, so it stays a 9-point game, and then very next possession, Wesley Matthews hits a very deep three and pushes the lead right back to 12. So, like, I know, you know, the Lakers were down a pretty comfortable margin for the Bucks for a good portion of that game, but it's like one or two of those plays, those you know, momentum flipping plays, if they go the Lakers way, could be talking about a very different game. So again, not too discouraged with this loss. I mean, there's just a lot of things. Like, I thought a lot of things went wrong for the Lakers. Shooting percentages were okay. I mean, much better in the second half than the first half, for sure. Ended up 46% from the free throw line, 46% overall from the field. 12 for 35 from the three-point line. Decent, not bad, but not great. And free throw line, they were 18 of 23, which is okay. The key thing here to me was the Bucks were, one, just a lot more balanced. They got more out of their bench, especially George Hill came into the game and scored 21 points. Hit 3 of 5 from the 3-point line, 7 of 12 overall. It was just the 3-point shooting from Milwaukee. I mean, they shot 41%, but 16 3-pointers. And they just seemed to be timely, like, momentum-boosting threes. They just all seemed to be kind of back-breaking threes when they hit them. And, you know, it was just it honestly felt like just the rate that they were hitting them, that they shot a lot better than 41%. It felt like they shot like 55 or 60% from the three-point line. Again, they just hit timely threes that kept kind of halting the Lakers' momentum every time they would start to make a little bit of a push, and that was frustrating. That was really frustrating. But the most frustrating part for me, and I know he's an unbelievable player. I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he's unbelievable talent, and the guy I know works tirelessly and just works so hard on his game, so it's not surprising me that he's getting better at this. But 5 of 8 from the three-point line, 5 threes was a career high for him, and that was frustrating because some of them, I mean, were late in the shot clock, they were off the dribble, they were contested, and he was just knocking them down. And at that point, and even LeBron said this after the game, at that point you just tip your cap, because those are the shots you want him to take. You know, you don't want him to get into the paint. You don't want him to get offensive rebounds and putbacks and things like that, because he'll use his athleticism and his length whenever he gets around the basket to finish pretty easily around the rim. And, you know, he's just burying threes, and just about all of his threes felt like they were backbreaking. So one of them, I think, for example, KCP got switched onto him, and he defended him really, really well. He cut off dribble penetration, you know, stayed in front of him. Giannis, you know, took a couple steps back and then shot a three at the end of the shot clock and buried it. if he's doing that, you just have to tip your cap because he's not a good three-point shooter. He's improving there. He's still not good, though. I think he was like 31% coming in. So, again, improving, but still, you want him taking three-pointers. And he made them. You tip your cap, and I guess you just move on. But, you know, like I said, the Bucks were very balanced. Chris Middleton added 15 points. Brooke Lopez had 10 points, but he played some pretty good defense. He had 4 steals, 3 blocks. And Wesley Matthews, I thought, was really good defensively on LeBron. He had 13 points as well. He hit some timely threes. He hit 3 threes of his own. So the three-point shooting was a killer. And, yeah, it was frustrating because it just felt like the Bucks played really well. Probably not their best, but I thought they played pretty well. And the Lakers, I thought, played pretty poorly, in all honesty. I thought they played poorly. KCP, I thought, played well. So they had some guys play well. I thought Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played pretty well. Danny Green played well. He had 21 points, 7 of 13 from the field, 7 threes. But they just didn't get enough out of that second unit. And I just don't expect that to be a trend. I know a lot of people were saying that this game exposed the Lakers, you know, and their weaknesses. They do have weaknesses in their roster. We've known this from day one. I think they still need another wing defender and another creator. Probably maybe at the point guard position. Iguodala would be perfect, but I'm starting to think that that's just not going to be a possibility. We'll have to wait and see on that. But if they could get even one of those two things, I think it would be a big boost. But I still think this team is fine. I think people need to take a deep breath, relax. It's the first time they've lost back-to-back games this year. And, I mean, one of those losses was at a very good team without your second-best player. So, yeah, I just think people need to pump the brakes. Like, the Lakers didn't play well, and they played against a good team in the same night. So there was a lot of room for improvement. I mean, I don't think we got a very good game out of LeBron, even though he had a triple-double. I think even LeBron would acknowledge that he could have played a lot better, and I would expect him to play a lot better. He'll bounce back like he always does, and he'll be ready to go probably, you know, when the Lakers play the Bucks again. Unfortunately, it's not till March, but I'm already looking forward to that game. So again, it's frustrating to lose. It always is, but I'm encouraged because so many things went wrong for the Lakers in this game, and they still were right there. Like, if LeBron hits that transition three, gets it to 6 with 6 minutes left, they're right there within striking distance, and they might be able to make a run make a run at getting a win. So ball just didn't bounce their way tonight. They got outplayed, and it happens. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. But for the people that think, you know, automatically jump to the fact that Lakers need to trade somebody, they got to do this, they got to do that, I do think they probably need to make some marginal improvements in the roster in certain areas. But pump the brakes. This team is fine. They're 24-5. I know they've lost a couple games to contenders like Milwaukee and the Clippers. They're going to get the Clippers here in less than a week, so that's another kind of measuring stick game. If they, you know, get steamrolled or get dominated in that game, then maybe we'll have a different discussion. But my message to Laker fans would just be relax. Just relax. It's okay. Last game of a road trip. Milwaukee also coming off of a loss. They played really well. They shot well. The Lakers really didn't. And the Lakers just, like I said, just had a lot of things not go their way. LeBron didn't play overly well. Anthony Davis couldn't make a jumper to really save his life, even though he did still find a way to score 36 points despite that. And then 4 points out of your bench. And despite all that, Lakers still were within striking distance there in the fourth quarter. Just couldn't get the ball to go their way. Or to bounce their way, and, you know, it happens. Over the course of an 82-game season, you're going to have nights like that. So, not a huge deal. I'm proud of the team for, despite being down by 19 on the road against probably the best team in the league right now, they still fought back. They still fought back and got within striking distance and just couldn't quite put together a run once they got within striking distance and really, you know, really make a run there. But it is what it is. You learn from it, you move on, and you know, Lakers got some more tough games coming up, so no time to dwell on it. And you know, if the league wants to crown the Bucks right now on December, what is it, December 19th, by the time I'm recording this, then you let them. A lot of basketball to play, long way to go, and maybe the Lakers will get to the finals, and maybe Milwaukee will be there waiting for them. Who knows? But to me, it's obviously you'd like to win those big games, and you'd like to have the narrative be, oh, the Lakers went into Milwaukee and beat the Bucks. You know, they're obviously impressive or whatever. But it's a regular season game at the end of the day. It'll be fine. This team is going to be fine. As long as they stay healthy, they'll be fine. And I'm looking forward to see how they respond to this. I've said this a few times, but don't judge a team based on their losses. Judge a team based on how they respond to the losses. The losses continue to pile up, and then we can worry. But this is the first time that they've lost back-to-back games and all season, and hopefully it's the last time. But they got a few tough games coming up, so this is a big test for them. We'll see how they respond. They play. Good thing is they finally get to come back home. They played a lot of road games so far to start the year, but they come back home after 2 days off, which is good. Allows AD to kind of heal up that ankle. Maybe Kyle Kuzma be able to go on Sunday against the Nuggets. And then they get two more days off and play the LA Clippers. It's a Laker home game. Everybody's going to have their eyes on that game. It's a game's on ABC, nationally televised game, prime time. So yeah, that's going to be a big one. Hopefully the Lakers aren't looking past Denver to the Clippers. Hopefully they come home and they can take care of business on Sunday, get back in the win column. I like their chances. I think they match up pretty well with Denver. And I think they're going to be a little pissed off here in, you know, for 2 days that, you know, they went into Milwaukee and got beat and all that stuff. And yeah, I think they'll bounce back from this. So if you're freaking out about this loss, just calm down. It'll be all right. I don't think the Lakers played particularly well. It happens. And you move on to the next game and, you know, see if they can bounce back. So luckily, the forecast, I think, is pretty bright for the Lakers coming up. The next two games are tough. Denver and the Clippers both at home. Then they go to Portland. I still would expect them to win at Portland, but you never know. Portland does have, you know, two star guards on their team, so they're capable of going off any night. But after that, they get the Mavericks, probably without Luka Doncic. They get the struggling Phoenix Suns. They get the New Orleans Pelicans, who are just bad. Detroit's not very good either. The Knicks are terrible. Those are all games at home. So I believe it's seven out of the next eight. Yeah, seven out of the next eight are at home. The team's 24-5, so there's a good chance to really rack up some more wins here and maybe cushion that, or add some more cushion between that 1 and 2 seed in the Western Conference, because the Lakers are still sitting at the 1 seed in the West. And hopefully they stay there. And hopefully the Rockets and Clippers kind of finishes that 2-3, because that'd be a fun second-round matchup to see, because the Clippers have had their struggles against the Rockets this year. Very easily could be 0-3, I believe, against the Rockets. They're 1-2 now after, because they lost to the Rockets right after the Lakers lost. So, but anyways, yeah, like I said, not overly discouraged about this game. I hope you guys aren't either. Let me know what you think of the loss. Are you freaking out? Do the Lakers need to make a trade, or do they need to stay the course? It's fine. This happens in the regular season. You know, they just need to bounce back and everything will be okay. Let me know in the comments. Let me know what you guys think. Again, guys, make sure to like this video and subscribe to UCast Studios and Lakers Outsiders on YouTube. And you can listen to this podcast or subscribe to UCast Studios or Lakers Outsiders on all those major podcast platforms I mentioned at the start of the show. Alrighty, I'm going to get out of here. I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. I appreciate all you guys listening, whatever platform you listen on. I really can't express how much I appreciate the listeners, the constructive, the feedback that I get for the show. I really appreciate it all. I really just appreciate the support. I want to continue to try and pump out consistent content for you guys, and I'm always taking feedback for the show. So questions that you want answered on the podcast, all that stuff. So leave it in the comments, or you can leave it in an iTunes review as well. And and again, I always appreciate the support. I really, really do. So I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Not sure when exactly I'll record, but it should be sometime within the next week. And hopefully, it'll probably be after the Clipper game, I guess, on Christmas. So hopefully we're talking about a couple of Laker wins, and hopefully talking about them getting back on track. So until then, guys, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. This is Gary Kester with the Lakers Outsiders, signing off.